and welcome to Struggle to Fit podcast. I'm Jeanette.
And I'm Asia.
And we are Struggle to Fit. We're struggling to get fit, struggling to fit into society's idea of healthy and fit, and struggling to fit into our genes.
Welcome to episode 7 of Struggle to Fit podcast. Today, we're just going to kind of talk about the past 2 weeks and see how things were going just to kind of check in. We don't really have much planned today. So we're just going to kind of chat and get to know us a little bit better.
So just a little recap of what we did last month. Last month we had a challenge. It was no fast food.
I did pretty well up till day 29.
Yeah. And then this month started 2 weeks ago. And one of the things that we were going to focus on was just really like paying attention to what we're doing. For me, it was cutting out processed carbs and making sure I was drinking my water, reducing my caffeine.
For me, it really was just paying attention to what I was eating and when I was eating and questioning if I was really hungry when I was eating. I think we get into that habit of we're bored, so we're going to walk into the kitchen and we're just going to look in the fridge and see what's there because we want to eat, but sometimes you just have to ask yourself, are you really hungry? And do you really need to eat that right now? Because if you're not hungry, then it's not going to benefit you and it's just going to go straight to your hips.
So last month, if you remember, at the end of the month, I weighed in and did not lose anything.
Right. I remember that.
And we worked really, really hard.
Yeah. I had lost 4 pounds.
So for the last 2 weeks, I have been crap. Not complete crap, but we've eaten whatever we wanted, when we wanted, not to the extent that we normally would have. We've eaten out a few times, maybe not to the extent that we normally would have. We have not been going to the gym, whereas in the month of May, we worked out or at least walked or had some sort of physical activity every single day. And I'm kind of irritated because I didn't lose anything in May, but I've lost 6 pounds in the last 2 weeks doing nothing.
You know, and I think I'm a little opposite. I've actually gained the 4 pounds back because I haven't been working out and eating necessarily what I should be eating. But I can see how that's frustrating for you, though. You know, you work so hard to lose weight. But when you don't work at it, it comes right off.
And I guess I should just take it for the win and be like, yeah, I lost 6 pounds in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really trying. I initially said that I was going to stay away from the processed carbs and cut like the processed stuff out. And that didn't happen. And so I don't know if maybe my body, and the same thing happened with Anthony. Anthony lost weight too over the last 2 weeks. And maybe our bodies just needed a reset. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really quite sure what happened either, but, you know, this month, like starting now going forward, my dad came into town and I spent some time with him and we ate out and things just, my schedule's been kind of whacked out lately. So I really haven't, you know, been doing anything to assist with my weight loss. I tried meal prepping. I'm not very good at it. I did it, but
I wound up throwing away 3 days of stuff.
Yeah, me too. I threw it all away. And it didn't work for me. I think instead of pre-portioning foods or whatever, I can make dinners and put them in the fridge and then just eat them when I'm hungry. I don't really need to pre-portion it into separate containers. That just takes up space in the fridge and takes more time. Like I made chili the other night. There's probably, you know, there was two little Pyrex bowls full left over. That's technically meal prepping if you think about it, because you can still eat that as leftovers over the next few days. It's already made. You don't have to think about it. So technically, you can meal prep without buying all of the extra containers. And it was a waste of time for me.
Yeah, we tried it and wound up throwing away 3 days of food, which is a total of 6 meals because of there being two of us. We went and got chicken, got brown rice. It was boring. I don't have a fridge at work. I don't have a microwave at work. So yeah. I was eating cold chicken and rice.
And for me, I don't want my food to be boring. So, and I'm not going to try to force myself to eat something I don't like. I don't like brown rice. I'm not going to force myself to eat it, because then that's just going to make me not enjoy it. And then it's going to make dieting, in quotes, harder, because I'm not enjoying the food that I'm eating. So if I'm going to eat something, I'm going to want to enjoy it. It doesn't have to be like fried mozzarella sticks or anything like that. However, I will eat the right rice, but I'll eat it within reason and not overfill myself.
Right. That's kind of what Anthony and I are focusing on right now, which kind of started yesterday, was portioning stuff out, making sure that we're eating breakfast in the morning, still trying to cut out the processed carbs, which for us has meant not cutting out carbs completely, because carbs are not the devil, like
no,
some people think.
No, I can't
they are.
Go without carbs. Like, I was listening to a podcast, and the lady that, you know, lost 100 pounds, her name is Corinne Crabtree. She tried the keto diet, and she said that she was miserable.
Yeah,
because she went with no carbs, and she said that she was miserable, and she wanted to sleep, and it didn't work for her body. And some people can go without carbs and that works for their body. But I think it's more of trying to figure out your body and what your body needs and how often your body needs to eat and what your body is telling you.
Right.
Not everybody is built the same.
Well, for me, it's more like I'm hungry so often, I feel, because either A, I'm at home and I'm bored, or B, I'm at work and I'm moving all day long. So I feel like maybe I need to eat a little more often. But I don't need the types of carbs that we've been eating, like the breads and the French fries, the garlic bread, the spaghetti, the regular right. white pasta, stuff like
yeah.
that. I don't need that. So we're making some changes with, we're going to use zucchinis and make zoodles instead of spaghetti noodles. We've used spaghetti squash.
And there's ways to take that food and spice it up and not make it. Cause a lot, when people say zucchini, oh, that's gross. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be gross.
Right.
I mean, it's all about how you make it, how you prepare it, what kind of spices that you use on top of it. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, gross. You don't, I mean, just like white rice or brown rice, even it doesn't have to be gross, but if you genuinely don't like it, then don't force yourself to eat it because it's quote unquote healthy.
Right. And I found a brown rice recipe that we made that is more than plain brown rice. So you cook the rice in chicken stock.
Yeah.
And then you add garlic. First you fry up some onions and some garlic or saute them so they're soft. And we used coconut oil. And then you coat the rice and you boil it in chicken stock all together. And then right at the very end, you add a bunch of spinach to the top and you cover the lid, leave it in there for about 5 minutes, and that softens the spinach up, and then you toss it all around. Because I can't stand the texture of like cooked spinach or cream spinach, but I can eat it raw or I can eat it lightly mixed into something.
Right.
And that was pretty good because it was more than just regular brown rice.
Right. I mean, when I make white rice, I usually just cook it in water. Sometimes I'll put soy sauce in it, but the last time that I made it, I didn't. But I took the water and I basically just doused it in spices. Pepper, garlic powder, garlic salt, onion powder, and just I did that to the water. So it was marinating that water, and then I put the rice in. And to me, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I had it with, I mixed it in with some beans and some chicken and some corn and kind of like made like a bean burrito, almost like a chicken bean casserole type thing. And I really liked it. It was good. I made too much and I threw a lot of it away.
Yeah. You got to be careful with those spices because they have a lot of sodium in them.
Yeah.
And they, like, Mrs. Dash makes a lot of stuff that's salt free. What I did, I mean, it's been a while since I've had white rice, but when I make white rice, I usually have to flavor it with something. I can eat plain white rice, but normally my choice of flavor is butter.
Like, ew, I can't stand butter and rice.
That's my go-to. And noodles, like when we have extra noodles left over from spaghetti, mm-hmm. just toss it in some butter and no. good to go.
I can't do that. I don't.
But that's like carb city right there.
Yeah, it is. If I'm going to eat white rice, it's got to be flavored and it's got to be with like chicken or mixed in something or like chicken fried rice. But day old rice is always better. Like once it's sit in the fridge and then you take out and you like toss it in like a skillet and fry it, it makes it more flavorful in my mind.
We found this recipe for protein waffles.
How's that?
It's actually not that bad. Anthony's not a fan of them completely, but he'll eat them. Mainly because when you think of waffles, the first thing you think of is like Eggo waffles. They're very tight and compact. And
yeah.
These are very thick and fluffy.
Right.
So in his mind, he said maybe if he went to IHOP and had some waffles that were, you know, made fresh, that he would be able to see this is what a real waffle is supposed to look and taste like versus an Eggo. But yeah, it's an interesting way to make them because literally you take a scoop of protein powder, preferably vegetable-based, but you can use any protein powder.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's like the one recipe I saw called for some weird, like really high-end brand, but it was salted caramel. So yeah.
That's odd.
Well, I have vanilla chocolate and berry at home. And we did berry today and we did vanilla yesterday. Take one scoop of powder, one egg, 1 teaspoon of stevia, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 1 teaspoon of baking powder.
It's actually very wholesome. You know exactly what's going in it, and you know exactly what you're eating.
Yeah, and then you add a little bit of water until it's the consistency you want it.
Right.
And it, you know, most waffles take like a minute or two. It takes literally 30 seconds, 45 seconds if you have a big waffle. One scoop of protein powder will make 2 waffles, which is 1 person. And depending on your protein powder, that's basically like the one that we're using has 5 carbs in it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less than that. So that's per serving versus right. like the 23 that an Eggo might have.
On top of the other ingredients that you normally wouldn't cook with in your kitchen.
Right.
That
there's no flour. There's no, it's literally, there's no butter. And it's very filling.
Right. Protein usually is.
Yeah. So it,
yeah. And that with like a side of fruit, that would be a really, you know, good wholesome breakfast. Like after a workout.
Again, most fruit is carb based, but it's not like the white bread type carb.
Right.
It's a fruit carb.
But even enough, that would be like a really good like breakfast after you work out because it has all that protein. It'll help rebuild your muscles that when you worked out and stuff. I'd have to try that. I would probably turn them into like pancakes instead of waffles.
Do pancakes.
I don't have a
I hate making pancakes because I am really impatient and I always burn them. So when I said, hey, protein pancakes, and he was like, how about protein waffles? Because we have a waffle maker and I don't feel like you throwing stuff around in the kitchen. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you just have to try. It's all about trial and error. Trying new things that you might think that you like, but you'll never know until you try. Like, don't shut it down because it sounds gross or it sounds boring. Or if it's boring, then do something to make it happy. Food should be happy and you should enjoy your food.
Yeah, it gets hard when you're trying to diet. And I use the word diet in the sense of changing or monitoring your daily intake, because that's what a diet is what your daily intake is. A diet doesn't necessarily mean that you're following a specific plan or that you're staying within a certain calorie budget. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're restricting anything. It's just, this is what I eat on a daily basis.
Right. And it's all about just paying attention to what you are eating. You know, I took my cast iron pot back down and decided to start frying stuff. And obviously that's not healthy for you. All of those crunchy mozzarella sticks are really good, let me tell you. But even though that it's really good, yes, I'll still eat it, but I'm not going to have the mozzarella sticks on top of a burger, on top of fries. And I'm not going to like overfill myself. sure, I'll eat 3 mozzarella sticks and that'll probably fill me up and I wouldn't be hungry for a couple of hours.
Right.
So yes, it's not that healthy, but I'm not overeating to compensate for the fact that I only get 3 mozzarella sticks.
Right. I've been, you said something, you said paying attention to what you're eating. I'm sure what you mean is like paying attention to the food, like the content of your food.
Correct.
But on a side note, I've been watching a YouTuber. Her name is Lose It Like Lauren.
Uh-huh.
And the last episode that I watched was the last video she had. She was talking about paying attention to what you're eating, being mindful when you're eating.
Right.
Turning your phone off or setting it down, moving it out of the way, not watching TV, not watching YouTube while you're eating, not watching movies, not playing video games while you're eating,
yep.
Being quiet, taking time, you find that you slow down and you eat less.
A lot of people say, though, if you're eating with your phone or like even if you're at a restaurant and you're eating and you go to pick up your phone, you're full. Because obviously you have food in front of you, but you don't want to eat it. You want to play with your phone. So that kind of, in a sense, means that you're done. I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, but if you think about it and you really like, if you are done eating and you are self-conscious enough to put your fork down and pick up your phone and scroll through Facebook, then are you actually full and you don't need to eat anymore?
Right. I could see that as being a thing, being full. But it also, like, it's a distraction.
It
so
is.
Whatever you're doing, whether it's eating popcorn while you're watching a movie, you're distracted. You're not paying attention to the amount that you're eating.
Right.
So if you have something pre-portioned out, like, you know, you can have a cup of popcorn and you're watching a movie and you put the cup of popcorn in the bowl, that's fine. Because you know that you're only going to eat that cup of popcorn.
Right.
But if you're going to sit down with the whole bag or the whole bucket and watch a movie, you're going to eat the whole bag and the whole bucket.
Without even
whether you like the popcorn or not, or rather, you're not, you're just not paying attention.
It's mindless eating. You're eating because you need something to do with your hands while you're watching the movie, not because you're actually hungry.
Right.
I think a lot of it too is about decisions. We make a lot of decisions throughout the day. From the time that we wake up to the time that we go to bed, you know, there's like hundreds of thousands of decisions that we have to make. We decide what time to get out of bed. We decide what we're going to have for breakfast. We decide
what we're going to wear.
What we're going to wear. We decide how we're going to do our hair. And I feel that, you know, we can decide what we're going to eat too. And even if you have to go out with your friends, you know, don't let going out with a friend stop you from, let's just say we went to Chick-fil-A today. I could have chosen to get a salad.
Right.
And I could have, and that's the healthier or better option than what we had gotten. And I didn't need to use, well, we're going to Chick-fil-A. I don't have control over what I'm eating.
Right.
Or I'm going out with friends that wasn't expected and I didn't get to plan for it. I don't have control over that. But in a sense, we always have control over everything. I have control over myself no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing. I can decide what I'm going to do. And it's all about decision making.
So the struggle for me over the last 2 weeks, I really haven't been thinking about food. I also haven't been exercising. It started raining. We stopped going on walks.
Yeah.
We haven't been to the gym. So that's kind of, I feel like I'm letting myself down a little bit because I was doing so well. And should I feel that way? No, I probably shouldn't feel that way and I shouldn't beat myself up, but at the same time, I pay for this thing. I pay for this membership and I'm not getting the most out of it.
Nope. And, you know, when we do go, we always feel good after and it's always worth it when we go, but it's just getting up and going. And it's those habits, you know, they say it takes 30 days or 31 days or like 21 days to make a habit. I don't really believe that.
That's not true. Somebody said that because he thought it, the guy who invented it, and I don't remember his name, but I was reading this actually a couple days ago. The guy who invented that it takes 21 days to create a habit, wanted to be known for something philosophical. So basically he was like, takes 21 days to make or break a habit. And then it's turned into, it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. It takes 30 days. It takes 2 weeks. Like, you could do so much research on it. It's not true.
But I think it's one of those things, like when you go to the gym, you know, and you keep on going, you keep on going, and then you fall out, you fall completely and you fall hard. Like, you kept on going on walks and you went to the gym, but the moment that you stopped completely.
Yes.
It wasn't like you gradually stopped. It was you stopped. And it's just one of those things that you just have to get back into that groove. And it's all about planning your time, saying on Mondays, I'm going to go to the gym. On Tuesdays, we're going to walk, you know, 5 laps around the park. And I think that planning makes a big difference too. And it kind of, you know, you plan for it and then you let the schedule rule you and you don't rule the schedule.
Right.
And for some people that may be possible, for some people that might not be possible.
So the new thing that we're doing is we're not counting carbs right now, Anthony and I,
not counting calories.
I've put fitness pal has been put to rest temporarily.
I'm actually probably going to delete it off my phone.
I like it for the tracking purposes, but it kind of like controlled us for a full month.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the math says, and it, your body does need a certain number of calories to function. And if you eat less than that, that's fine. Your body will get used to it. But the math says that, you know, everything we were doing that month was right, but we still didn't lose, and it caused nothing but frustration.
And I think the issue with that is, and I'm no doctor or anything like that, but it's all about everybody is different. So yes, they say that, you know, your body needs a minimum of 1200 calories, but that can't necessarily be true for every person.
No, it's not. And your body doesn't need a minimum of 1200 calories. There's a scientific, like, there's a mathematical equation behind it. Like, there's a website, my daily, energyexpenditure.com, something along those lines. And what it does is you say, okay, this is how tall I am. This is how old I am. I'm a male, female. And this is how much I currently weigh. And it says, well, based on these stats, this is how many calories you need to function right now.
But even that is to function healthily
is what it is.
Right. And even that is still so broad because, you know, if two people can put those exact same stats in it, but, you know, there's so many different variables involved. So for me, it's not necessarily about counting calories, and I don't want to use my fitness pal because A, I'm too lazy, and B, I just don't really care about seeing all of that. When if I track my food, I'm just going to track it in Trello, in my daily diary, which because my dad was in town, I kind of fell out of that and I haven't been keeping up with it. But I will be doing a tutorial soon on how I do that in Trello once I get a couple of weeks under my belt. But, you know, I'm going to just type out what I eat. I ate this at this, you know, this time. And I don't really care about the calories because I'm feeding my body and I know that I don't even care if it's healthy. I'm saying this is what I'm going to eat and I've already made a plan for it. So like tonight before I go to bed, I'm going to plan my meals for tomorrow. And Fit and Fat Corinne Crabtree calls it a 24-hour plan. And you plan for tomorrow and for 24 hours, and then you let that plan rule you.
Right. So I've kind of gone back to the old fashioned. Yesterday I started at the old fashioned pen and paper.
I hate pen and paper.
I have a journal that was sitting around in my house, probably in my journal collection somewhere, of unused journals. And my fancy pens that I got for my fancy planner that I used for like all of 2 months.
Right.
And I'm using my fancy pens with my fancy journal from my journal collection. And I'm writing down the stuff that we're eating, basically in breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, snack format, how much water, end of the day, move on. I can write my thoughts down if I want to. I don't have to, just to say, hey, what did I eat? Oh, yeah. And then we're going to do a cheat day once a week. Our cheat day happens to be on Tuesday because we're going to Disney.
Well, I hope you have fun.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
We're going to Hollywood Studios to be specific.
Oh, nice.
So I'm hoping that we at least get to eat at Pizza Planet.
Take pictures.
I will.
That'll be nice.
If I don't get to eat anywhere, I will not eat all day long if the only meal I get is from Pizza Planet. That's what I want to do.
That's funny. And when I do that, when I eat sushi, if I know that I'm going to eat sushi, that's all I eat all day long. I don't eat anything else because I literally stuff myself to the brim full of sushi because it's so good and it's a treat and I don't get it very often.
Now we have, so when we meal prepped last week, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, we did meal prep. We prepped for the entire week.
Yeah.
And it was just lunch. So we did do some prepping for the week, but it wasn't like full blown. We prepped for lunches up through Monday because mm-hmm. we're going to Disney on Tuesday.
Right.
And then we prepped our yogurt, which is our mid morning snack, 2 days, 1 day in advance. So we had yesterday and today's yogurt. And then I have tomorrow's built up too. And then we're going to pull our fruit out of the freezer the day before. So I'm not spending all day prepping a full week.
Right.
We're going to go a day or two at a time
right.
in advance, you know, a couple days in advance so that we're not throwing stuff away because it's about planning for it and we're planning for it, but it's also not entirely boring. Like it's not just chicken breast and brown rice. It's something different, which I think is
right. I mean, for us, like I made chili and that'll last. I mean, it's probably not the healthiest, but it's not the worst either. I mean, chili, it has ground beef in it and it's got, you know, the chili, it's got beans and tomatoes. Sure. It's probably not the healthiest, but I don't think it's the worst. It's not like it's fried mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's definitely not fast food. But I've been eating like, a lot of quesadillas that I've made with just chicken and cheese. And I'll get one scoop of sour cream and only use that and not go back to get more. And no, I'm not trying Greek yogurt. So don't even go there.
I feel like you cut me off there.
I did. I knew where that was coming.
It's really good. It's a very good substitution. No. Fat-free plain Greek yogurt as sour cream.
I don't believe it.
Okay.
I don't believe it.
You have to try it before you can say no.
I'll try it, but I still don't believe it.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure I'll be able to tell the difference. Like cauliflower cannot be an imposter.
No, cauliflower is completely different. Whoever said, I don't know who came up with the idea. Now, let me rephrase that. Cauliflower in a pizza crust.
That might be a little bit different.
Yes.
Because you make it a little bit different, but it's not like you're trying to transform cauliflower into mashed potatoes or into barbecue wings.
That was a disaster. I did that with buffalo sauce. That was not good.
And so I don't see how, if again, I want my food to be happy and I want to enjoy it, I don't think that I would enjoy my quesadilla.
But you're not substituting the chicken. You're not substituting the cheese. It's just
right.
It's baby step.
But the sour cream makes the quesadilla. However, I can't eat it without
the cheese and the rat make the quesadilla.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
So I really haven't been eating much just because I've only been eating when I'm hungry. So, like, I probably eat the quesadilla and then I might eat, like, a small bowl of some type of casserole that I made later on in the evening. And that's really all I ate. And I've drank water. We have purposely not been buying soda. So I haven't drank any soda.
I have failed at my no caffeine. That didn't work. But I have been drinking less caffeine.
Did you end up buying like regular Diet Coke instead of the caffeine-free? No,
what it was we got caffeine-free Diet Coke. And then we went out to lunch with the kids as a family and completely forgot that the only Diet Coke that they had was caffeinated. We didn't even think about it until after we drank it.
You could have drank like Sprite. Did they not have Sprite?
No, you're not drinking Sprite.
Well, it's caffeine free.
Yeah, gross. anyways, and then a few times that we had gone out for lunch or whatever, it was crap. They only have, you know, well, we'll get water because they only have caffeinated Diet Coke. And then we were at the grocery store and we went to get a drink when we left the grocery store. And I was like, well, poo, they only have regular, they didn't have caffeine free. So it's like, all right. We have been drinking less caffeine. So
it's all baby steps, as you said. One of the things that Kryn talks about is, you know, doing things slowly. Like, if you would normally, go to the kitchen and get a full bag of chips and take it to the living room and sit down and eat it like my husband does and just not know when to stop, then actually portion yourself out some in a bowl and take the bowl into the kitchen, into the living room.
Right.
You can still have the chips, but
it goes back to that mindless eating.
Right. You can still have the chips, but you're controlling how much you're actually eating. And that's a baby step for you.
Right.
And that's better than eating the big bag of chips.
Well, I've been watching a couple people on YouTube, and there's another one, Nicole Collette and her husband have each lost 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And their biggest thing was portioning things out.
Right.
Not counting calories or necessarily macros, but portioning things out. And one of the things that they do is every night in the beginning, they had 2 Oreo cookies every night at the end of the night after dinner. That was their treat. And I remember listening to that going, 2 cookies? Who in the world eats 2 Oreo cookies? And I did it last night, but I went and got the cookies and I took the 2 that I wanted and left the rest there.
Mm-hmm. And you probably felt satisfied with yourself.
I guess. I mean, I took them apart piece by piece, which
savored the moment.
I turned it into 6 pieces instead of 2. But it is what it is. It's you have to get into that habit.
Yeah. I actually, my husband for some reason has had this crazy sweet tooth. And I don't know why, because he doesn't like sweets. So we have pudding in the fridge, and he got a parfait the other day. And so we have fruit gummies. So I've been really having to not go overboard with sweets because of that.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is. It's really hard. It's
And for me, I don't really want to eat sweets as a dessert. I don't care about desserts.
I'll eat chocolate cake all day long if it's there.
Oh, me too. Me too. Luckily he doesn't like chocolate, so I don't have to worry about, like, if there's chocolate cake in the house, me and my mother-in-law,
Anthony,
will eat it.
I mean, I like chocolate, and Anthony loves chocolate to the point so much so that if we're going to buy a chocolate cake, if you're going to buy a chocolate cake, you're going to buy a chocolate cake.
You're going to buy
be a chocolate death cake with, like, it's a chocolate cake with, like, chocolate fudge icing, not just chocolate ice cream, but chocolate fudge icing with chocolate shavings on it and little chocolate swirls.
Yes.
And you could plaster the side of it with chocolate cookies. And, like, it needs to be
death by chocolate, death pretty by much. Chocolate. And I agree totally with you. If I'm going to take the time to eat cake, it's got to be a good cake. And I would also have to get vanilla ice cream to go with it. I like my cake with ice cream.
I could go either way. Like, I could be without ice cream. That's okay. But if I'm going to get ice cream, it's going to be ice cream all or nothing. Like, I'm not going to buy vanilla ice cream. Who eats just vanilla ice cream?
I would be with the cake.
Yeah, but even so, if you're going to buy ice cream to go with your chocolate cake that's already going to kill you, you might as well have, like, Snickers ice cream or something like that. I had that trouble when I had my teeth pulled and I was eating Halo Top ice cream every night.
How is Halo Top ice cream?
It's actually not that bad. It has a weird texture. You do have to have a couple before you. But it's better than the – there was another one called, like, Arctic something. The Halo Top is definitely better than that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought these Halo Top ice creams. It's basically, it's a pint and it's like something like 240 to 320 calories for the entire pint.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for half a cup like the rest of them are.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I can eat this. So because I have this buy all the ice cream or eat none of the ice cream mentality, my first night I was like, all right, I got sherbet. This is good. I bought a vanilla one that I actually saved for last, but the 2 or 3 that I had in between had candy bits and cookie bits in them, which I couldn't, it was hard for me to eat because I just had my teeth pulled.
Yeah.
So it's that you got to get out of that mentality.
Yeah. So these next 2 weeks, we're really just going to, me personally, I'm just going to focus on what I'm eating, paying attention to when I'm eating, if I'm actually hungry, you know, and not snacking in between. A lot of times society says that we have to eat 6 times a day, smaller meals. We have to have a breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, snack. In reality, are you really hungry at all of those times when you actually eat? So for me, I'm just really going to focus on eating only when I'm hungry, and not necessarily worry about what I'm eating. If I'm hungry and I want a pudding, then that's all I'm going to eat. and the pudding will fill me up. But that's a step for me, only eating when I'm hungry. And then only eating when I'm full and not overfilling. Cause if I really want a pudding, but I'm also going to have a bowl of chili, am I still going to be hungry after that bowl of chili to eat the pudding?
Right.
So for me, I'm just going to focus on only eating when I'm hungry, not really worrying about what I'm eating, just eating when I'm hungry and stopping when I'm satisfied.
Right. And you're going to share your journal with us?
And I will, yes, I will post my journal up on the blog for this next week.
And so my focus for the next 2 weeks is we're still, you know, focusing on cutting out some of the complex carbs, the bad for you carbs, and bringing in more good food, and portion control. That's going to be the main focus.
Yep.
Portion control.
Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget to like us on our social media. And we can't wait to talk to you guys again. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us at struggle2fit.com. That is struggle2fit.com, facebook.com/struggle2fit, and on Instagram at struggle.2.fit. See you next week.